This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina, Adam Eshbaugh and Wayne Holt from 919 Beer, and our pandemic tour continues. We're at full steam in Durham today, and I feel like, you know, like in Force Awakens, when Han and Chewie get in the Millennium Falcon, it's like, Chewie, we're home.
Yeah.
Feels good to be here.
Yeah, you and I talked about that. Like,
love.
Even the drive-in, once you hit the McDonald's,
oh, yes.
And I the memories came flooding back. Like, I miss being at this place.
Sean Lilly Wilson is hanging out with us today, owner of Full Steam. It's been 10 years, man.
10 years
since
we
last saw you.
Yeah, but 10 years since you opened.
10 years since we opened. 10 years since we started. That path to nostalgia when you pull up at McDonald's and you know you're almost home.
See the sign for Rigsby.
It's funny, you know, we checked in with Carolina Brewing Company a couple weeks ago and how long they've been at this too.
25, 26 years?
It's been 25 years, yeah. Right? And they're like a grandpa in this situation, but 10 years in the triangle. 15 years removed from Pop the Cap. I mean, Full Steam, for people who might not be aware, if they're new to this, I mean, you guys were one of the first movers on not just the craft brewing scene in North Carolina and this area, also this part of Durham, which we'll get to in a second. So what's that, as you reflect on 10 years, what has it been like?
Well, it's an odd time to have a 10-year celebration with the pandemic going on because, as you can see, we're taking it very seriously. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of precautions. We have a lot of social distancing protocols in place, and we didn't want to throw a big party. So the actual celebration itself was pretty understated, but our... what am I thinking about and how am I reflecting and how are we thinking about it internally? Yep. There's just a lot of pride. We're making the best beer we've ever made. A lot of that coming from just consistent, repeated improvement of a beer like Southern Basil or Carver, Paycheck, Humidity, Rocket Science. There's something to be said for that discipline that comes from building on your know-how and then also just continuous innovation. So I'm really pleased with the beer, service, how we're handling COVID, and our food, which you'll get to try in
bit. We'll get to the food here in a little bit. You talked about innovation or what's next. You guys actually have projects going on right now. So what is Full Steam working on right now?
Well, we're most notably working on this Boxyard RTP expansion. Mm-hmm. So Boxyard is in front of the Frontier Building, which was an old IBM campus or former IBM campus in Research Triangle Park. And RTP, the park itself, had a sort of a, in their bylaws or in their operating agreement or whatever legal document, they couldn't do retail. So since their founding 60 or so years ago, there's never been retail in Research Triangle Park. And this is the first retail venture. So it's a mixed purpose shipping container project. And we're all like about 13 businesses are going to be in various shipping containers smashed together in kind of a U shape with outdoor seating.
Okay.
And plenty of food and drink options and some retail. It's going to start opening in the fall with Lawrence Barbecue and Buzzy Bakes and a few others. And then we're going to be in the spring mm-hmm. with a pizza and, of course, beer, craft cocktail, and hopefully a rentable space up top. You know, I say hopefully just because, you know, crowds right
so
now.
when you say shipping containers, is this like, there's a place in Asheville that comes to mind. I forgot. It's like something Supper Club. It's right there on the French Broad River, and I can't remember the I can't remember the name of the place off the top of my head, but it's something Supper Club. And the entire concept is the restaurant is in multiple shipping containers that have been retrofitted to make a restaurant. Is that what this is like, or is it like more like Highlands Meadow where it's just shipping containers where people are just kind of based out of?
You know, I understand your question. It's a good one. It's going to be more packed together and stitched together shipping containers with a upstairs and downstairs component.
Have you ever been to Washington Nationals game?
I haven't.
Okay. So up in D.C., outside of the ballpark, there's an area. Now it's coming to mind, I think. If I'm visualizing it, there is a very similar concept just outside of where the Nationals play, and it's gorgeous. I mean, how they've made it all work. It's really communal. It's really awesome. So this is that kind of concept.
I was just down in one, I think called Gather in Greenville, South Carolina, and it has a very similar feel. So they're fun. It's repurposing in a creative way, these shipping containers, and then it's going to help with outdoor space and kind of gathering for and also the collective of being near Lawrence Barbecue and Bulgogi and Carburitos, these announced
Carburitos.
Carburitos is going to be there. Yeah. Yeah, now you're talking. Yeah. There's Wayne.
Wayne has joined the chat.
So I got a question for you.
Did someone say burritos? Yes.
About what you guys are doing. So a few years ago, and I'll draw a blank, Jump Street, you can help me, the shipping container that was the bar that set up down at Cam for a little bit.
Yeah, that was a project. I think it was Matt. I forgot Matt's last name, but he wanted to do this installation at Cam. It was a beer garden. It was neat. It worked.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the.
And then Bull Durham Beer Company.
Right, bought the.
When Bull Durham was part of Capital Broadcasting, went ahead and they bought that shipping container, and they made it a permanent spot there for, well, not a permanent spot, but they extended what they were trying to do with it. But it hasn't been in use for a while now.
Yeah, this is a big project that's going to be a big change for RTP and the first of a number of retail ventures in the park. And so, you know, I think what I would say about the space is just like Joe mentioned, we were one of the first in this area. We kind of have this history, and that's what stitches together our 10 years. Mm-hmm. Is 10 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot going on in this part of town.
People didn't want to come out here.
And there was a bit of convincing to get people to say, hey, this is going to be a fun area.
Yep.
And thankfully we had partners, not business partners, but collaborators like Motor Co. and Gear Street Garden and Coco Cinnamon and Surf Club and Accordion Club, The Pit, mm-hmm. To make this area what it is now 10 years later, right? And very similarly, I think we're going to see the same thing in what's been considered a no person's land, right, for retail in RTP. And, you know, not too far away is some great retail options, but just in the park itself, it's pretty quiet. And already we're seeing some really exciting signs that people are ready for that.
So back to the containers themselves, though. So explain to us, you said it's going to be in a U-shape, but is there going to be seating inside the containers?
Or
is it, okay.
Yeah, like, you know, and it'll be tricky because of COVID and where we stand and social distancing,
because
they are small units. I think, you know, what is it, 12 by 40 feet each. Now, ours are, we're gonna have six together in one continuous
What you're doing.
Yeah, and then upstairs. So we have a lot.
Okay.
Like, we have 9 units, and others have, like, 3 or 2, or some have 1. So we're definitely, we have a decent-sized presence there.
So what did they take a parking lot, or they demo a building? I mean, what?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
No building, demo. Parking lot.
I'm familiar with the area, but I haven't been by to see this coming together.
Yeah, like just some pine trees and a big kind of. I mean, there's RTP has a lot of space, right? There's room for this project with plenty of parking, which has been a challenge here.
Yeah.
At least maybe the perception of it. It's going to be right there in front of the 700 building of the Frontier campus.
Now, is this retail going to be open? I mean, obviously, RTP was pre-COVID very busy, very hectic during the day, but at night it was kind of slow and dead. Is this project going to be open into the evening? And is there going to be a music aspect to it? Because I remember Tess Mangamokala reaching out to me and wanting a vendor, and I'm thinking, why is Tess involved in this project and Tess does music? So tell us a little bit deeper about what's happening there.
Well, yeah, it'll be, the idea is that basically that there's plenty of people that live nearby, work, want to hang out post work and stay and maybe avoid some of the traffic that comes right from 5 to 7 and hang out. And you know, not too far away is a lot of residential. And so, sure, it's been quiet. Doesn't mean it's going to be. Just like here, it was quiet. Doesn't mean it's going to be. And there'll be music and some programming. They have their own. Amanda is the dedicated staff person at the foundation to do this programming. And it'll actually be nice to have somebody tasked with that, because our experience was, you know, we were doing a lot of that programming ourselves.
So let's talk about the beer. I'm having a Mexican lager. Adam, what did you get?
I got the Helles.
There you go.
Of course.
Heard lagers are hot right now.
Yeah.
What did you get?
Guess what I got? An IPA.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But you went classic. You went Pioneer.
Did you go Rocket Science?
No, this is Road to Nowhere.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah, like the song?
Yeah, like the song. Nice. Like the Swain County Tunnel, a little North Carolina reference, a not completed project, a beautiful path, but expensive and controversial. So I said path. It was a little bit of a Freudian slip. We have a follow-up to this. This is a 7% IPA. We'll follow up in 2 weeks with, so this is the Road to Nowhere. We have the Path Forward, a 9% double IPA, still in that kind of piney and rugged, classic West Coast style.
Are we talking beer now?
We're talking beer
Great.
Now.
Great. So that excites me. So I walked in.
Simmer down.
First of all, man, like Joe, I got a little misty eyed driving in here, and I promise myself I wouldn't cry today.
Try not to.
But I mean, like, I have history with this place. Like, this is the first place I ever watched Sharknado with my wife. And
oh my god.
Oh, hey, look, man, I get it because one thing,
honestly, I've gotten a lot of ideas for what I do because of Sean and his creativity.
Well, I don't look at it from that perspective. For me, it's more about just family time. I mean, look, we go to Bulls games in the spring and the summer. And part of the routine of going out to Durham was, depending on when the Bulls game was, we'd either come here before or come here after. I mean, one of the two, right? So this summer, it's been rough on everybody, but the one thing I know my kids definitely miss doing is coming out here, watching a Bulls game or whatever. And
yeah.
You have a bunch of plants now, but they used to goof around playing with whatever board games you had here up on the wall. So
Your kids were probably Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, huge Cards Against Humanity fans, yes.
So I have memories of this zingers. Place. I have memories of this place, too. Probably before you ever came to this state, and you'd been here for a while, but
I mean,
you were still
95.
In college.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. You might have been.
So more than 10 years ago. Yeah, it was more
about
than 10 years
20,
ago.
One or 22 years ago, I was on my way to a friend's girlfriend had passed away, and they were having a wake one evening somewhere up in the edge of Virginia. And I was driving a brand-new Lexus, and the navigation said, accident ahead, traffic I could see was backing up, and it sent me on a detour through this area of Durham. It might have been the scariest I've ever been in my life that particular night when I pulled up to a stoplight, and it was just people everywhere on the street, and you know, I'm in a car with a 30-day tag on it in a place that has a reputation at that time of being very rough, and you know, Durham had a lot of murders at that time. And then fast forward 10 years, Sean takes a chance, or you know, 10 or 12 years, Sean takes a chance, and now two blocks up the street, I've got friends that are building $900,000 houses, very modern structures. It's taken a turn since you've gotten here, Sean.
Well,
we'll go back to the beer.
Yeah, my experience is just with my kids coming when they were young. We went to a strawberry festival here, and this was maybe 12, 15 years ago in Durham Central Park, the school here, and just having a great time at the strawberry festival and kind of coming around the corner and then just seeing nothing, just seeing great buildings but nothing happening.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's more my memory. I've been here since 92, you know, I've seen Durham change. I think a lot of it is perception and maybe more on what I'd like to think of is more of the growth that we've seen and the positive change. It's definitely changing, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you on that perception. You know, growing up in Holly Springs, and I'm, you know, 57 years old, so I remember back in the day when the news would report only the bad, just like they do today. They report the bad things that happened, and even then, Durham was not as bad as it was made out to be. But being from a small town where we knew everyone, and we would come to Durham, it was like we only came to Durham if we had to. Today, it's one of the places where I love downtown Durham. I love what you've done here. I come to Motorco sometimes for Sunday brunch or when they were doing it back in the day.
Yeah, they're back at it.
Yeah, it's just sure. It's a cool spot.
Well, what I love about Durham, I'll just say, is you know, we were very intentional 10 years ago, well, 11, right, when we started the search. Mm-hmm. We were very intentional on finding a spot that felt like we could be a part of a community and build true community. And I think it's taken a long time to get to that spot where I feel like we're really representing Durham's diversity and progressive spirit. But it's definitely something that I know we've made good strides on. There's a lot of work ahead to continue that effort, but we love being a part of the community here.
Well, tell you what, the food has arrived as we're recording this podcast. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll eat the food. We'll come back. We'll talk about the beer, and we'll talk about the kitchen here at Full Steam and what you can look forward to in a little bit. Lunch break completed.
And we're back.
I didn't
get my nap in.
Here's the thing. I had to use rights-free music. I had to use rights-free music to make this transition happen. Good luck finding good rights-free transition music.
That's the point of rights-free transition music. It doesn't need to be good. It's supposed to be a little cheesy. Yeah,
yeah, it is. So I did my best there. Let's talk about beer, Sean.
Yeah, well, before the break, we were going to talk about beer, and we got distracted. And then after the break, we were going to talk about beer, but now I only just want to talk about food, because my food was incredible.
Are we going to tease people about talking about beer?
I don't know.
On the beer podcast?
I mean, we're going to talk about beer.
Are we going to change the name of the beer podcast?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
All right, let's talk about the food, Sean.
The sandwich podcast.
The kitchen was like a work in progress, and it, like, literally just got completed before all this hit?
Well, we got the final stage complete.
Okay.
Just before COVID came in. And by final stage, I mean we got, it was like a $150,000 kitchen expansion with a full hood and all the, you know, requisite fryer and range and everything to make a full kitchen work. And then COVID.
This.
Yeah.
Gestures wildly to all of this. So what, when you guys decided to finally go with a kitchen, because I know the last time we talked, you had just started serving food on small plates, essentially. So what's the overall vision for the kitchen? What do you want to serve? What can people expect?
Here, we want to do comfortable tavern food with a seasonal focus.
Yeah.
And so that... Adam and I had the Snappalachia pork sandwich with a little black garlic aioli and an apple slaw. So it's a kind of a nod to Snappy Lunch in Mount Airy with their bone-in pork sandwich. This wasn't bone-in, but it's got a sort of a connection to the South, right?
Yeah.
But we want to still make it delicious bar food. I think over the years, we've struggled with kind of the Goldilocks syndrome. Like a little too fancy, a little too unfancy. And
right.
I think we're hitting our stride right now with food that people want in a bar, but still we can incorporate local ingredients.
Okay.
If I could remark on that pork sandwich, if you're not sure of what to expect, think a fried chicken sandwich, but in the shape of pork loin, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or schnitzel. Yeah,
yeah.
It
was delicious. It was
awesome.
Really, really excellent.
I will tell the kitchen, and they will be thrilled to hear that.
Slaw had apples and yellow peppers and onions, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. It was,
and then you had me at
Old
Bay on the catfish po' boy.
So. Yeah, kind of straight up the middle with a catfish po' boy, and then Wayne, you had the smoked chicken salad.
I did, and anyone who knows me well knows that I love to smoke meats, and I'll smoke a lot of chicken, and picking up the smoke flavor on that was incredible. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Fresh sliced tomatoes, what appeared to be in-house made pickles.
Yeah.
And some pita points. Yeah. Five stars. Would eat here again.
Excellent. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And again, we'll tell the... I'll be sure to tell the kitchen. And, of course, the point is, like, this is a pretty casual atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's open air. And we try to work in our Southern narrative with our beer and food, but keep it fun and keep it relaxed. I mean, Adam in particular, I know you know a thing or two about, like, making delicious beer, but keeping it comfortable and easygoing, you know?
Yeah, well, I think comfort I mean, I can speak for myself, but I feel confident speaking for these guys and many others that, that have come to full steam over the years. Comfort's never been a problem here. maybe with road construction or something going on. Comfort getting here might not have, parking situation might not have been the easiest thing to come by. But once you walk in here, I automatically felt at home and coming back. Like I said, coming back here today was like coming home, coming to see an old friend. Like, it just brought back a lot of memories. And the earliest of which, beer.
I thought you were going to say Sharknado.
Well, that's my wife's earliest. Yeah, and
So you guys still have, I guess, what you could call your flagships, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never, for sure.
But the funny thing about Full Steam, and I don't mean this in a, it's one of these like classic, with all due respect, type situations. I've never really associated Full Steam with any sort of flagship type thing. I'm always curious what you guys are doing, because everything's
really?
Local. I never have. Like, every time I come out here, it's like, okay, what's new?
Guy drinking paycheck might disagree with me.
Right?
Well, I'm drinking paycheck, but I remember before paycheck was a thing.
I mean, we tried. You know what our attempted flagship was? It was the eponymous Full Steam.
Yeah,
like we tried Full Steam Lager with the Zeppelin. Yeah,
yep.
It didn't work.
El Toro.
Yeah, cream ale. Yep.
The cream
still
ale.
To this day was like my wife's like jam.
Oh,
like she loved that beer.
And we sort of pivoted from that to paycheck.
Right, and Rocket Science is probably your oldest.
Rocket Science and Carver are the oldest. Yep.
Yeah. Carver is probably the first one I had.
And seasonally, the Southern Basil, which was summer basil. It was literally our very first beer we ever brewed.
Wayne and I spent a lot of time in my garage drinking that off my kegerator back in the day.
I can remember living in 12 Oaks in Holly Springs and driving to Sam's Blue Light and buying 4 growlers at a time and take them back to Holly Springs and then coming back 2 weeks later and doing it again. So yeah, love that beer.
Thank you for the support. And I mean, I think the challenge is that people know us from some of these classics, beers that we continue to brew and some that we don't. Like we talked about Full Steam, the beer, Working Man's Lunch, Hogwash, some of
Twerking Man's Lunch.
Yes, thank you, sorry.
I still have a Hogwash growler.
I thought you were going to say T-shirt.
No.
And you have to keep it like in its own bag because it smells up your whole drawer.
Actually, no, I still have that.
Do you remember that?
No, yeah. I still have that T-shirt, and it stunk, but it was great.
No, I mean, that was like, that's such a next level creativity point. Like, they'd actually hand smoke some of the grain and hand smoke the T-shirts.
The T-shirt to go with the T-shirts.
And you get it in your car and be like, whoa,
what is
who brought bacon in here?
Don't wash this with any of your other clothes because it's going to smell like smoke.
I would say the smoked T-shirt, much more profitable than the smoked beer.
That's funny. Although it was written up in The Athletic not that long ago. So what have you guys pivoted to now? I feel like we've seen this. Maybe it's brewer fatigue from trying these next level beers all the time, but I've seen a pivot towards things like lagers and whatnot.
Well, I mean, we've been brewing Carver's a lager, so we've been brewing I wouldn't say Umbridge, but
I see a Mexican lager. I see the Helles. You know, like there's more
I'd say
exploration,
it's an evolution, or growth, not necessarily a pivot, right?
Expanding and doubling down on lagers, for sure. I would say also embracing good hazy beers and fun, kind of dipping our toes into the pastry stout, pastry sour world without making it too puree and gotcha. Outlandish.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite beers that I was, Eric, our head brewer and director of brewery operations, will tell you I was hesitant on was a Neapolitan ice cream sour in our UV series, UV7. And it was Vidari chocolate, North Carolina strawberries, vanilla done in a kettle sour. And I was like, I don't know, man. And it ended up being like probably my favorite beer that we've done so far this year.
Wow. Well, I'm drinking another new one. I'm tasting the Road to Nowhere IPA.
Yeah, new, but also throwbacky. It's
a West Coast IPA.
It's a West Coast style IPA.
It's very clean.
Yeah.
It's
rugged, piney.
Hop driven. It's got a nice
nice bitterness that just, like, that's what I want in IPA. It's
Are you really all tasty. Finding when people drink these IPAs, they're like, what the hell, this IPA is bitter. Are we at that point? Because we've been in, like, sweet land for quote, IPAs for so long?
I don't know. I feel like at least Untappd needs to have an additional category for their menus. You can't just say IPA anymore.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. At least say, put an NE or hazy or something in front of it so you know what you're getting.
Yeah, and I think they have that. I mean...
Well, but on a menu, it's just like, it can be anything. It's an American IPA.
Yeah.
Or
IPA is the new craft beer. I've been saying that for five years.
It's the new Saison or the new Belgian. Like,
it's just
really,
everything.
Really,
but
not
the
a whole
crazy
lot.
Thing is, like, it sells. Like, and
absolutely,
and
it sells.
40% of our sales are IPAs and hoppy beers. So the challenge for us is that, and one thing that I haven't mentioned is that we're really driven by Southern ingredients,
right.
By buying local and supporting local farms. In fact, this year we exceeded $500,000 in cumulative purchases from North Carolina farmers since we started. So like $500,000 in 10 years to local farms. And we want to build on that and do more and more. But what's selling right now is, and continues to sell, is IPA. And what doesn't sell as much is your, you know, our Brumley Forest made with foraged black walnuts and a Baltic Porter and all. It's a delicious beer. It won a Good Food Award. It's one of my favorite beers, in part because I'm connected to, like, the place where we gathered those nuts and those ingredients to make that beer. That message right now, it's a harder sell. I think I don't know if it's a COVID thing and people are gravitating towards comfort, but what we're finding is people want proven classics like a pale ale IPA and Pilsner, and then known innovative styles like hazy IPA and sour beers. And in between, it's a bit of a challenge.
Proven classics, 40%, Adam, 40% of his sales. He said 40% of his sales were IPAs.
Not proven classics.
No.
Difference. It's all his hoppy stuff, which means the
IPAs,
new hazy stuff.
40%.
As well, right, Sean?
So just think of that. So if you have zero right now and you did 40%, you can almost double your sales if you guys would do an IPA. I mean, I've been saying that for 3 years you've been in business. Just do me an
Mommy,
IPA.
Mommy, they're fighting.
Here we go. This happens like every podcast.
I know you
now.
Named a lager company, but you
notice
can...
That, you notice, I just kind of like you can, checked out. Like,
you can, don't worry, the listeners have too, Joe.
I'm just like, yeah, let me check on an email while these two like do their thing, right?
There is hope. Dave said he was working on an IPA.
Not for the lager.
Well, you've done IPLs, you know?
Not the same.
Oh, touched a nerve.
No, anyway, not about what I'm doing, but back to full steam. I mean, 40% is a number that's difficult to ignore. Now, is that in-house or is that cumulative?
Well,
or
that's
collective or whatever. I mean,
sure, that's in-house. So just so we're clear, about 40% of our beers are would be considered hoppy, and that could range from Rocket Science as a kind of classic hop, American IPA, to the Road to Nowhere as a West Coast to our hazies,
sure.
Obviously juicier and more modern. We offer a lot. That's why we sell a lot, but they do move, right?
How does it compare to what's happening out in the market?
Yeah, yeah. And so the vast majority of our sales are three beers, two of which have pale ale in them, right? India Pale Ale, Rocket Science, and Humidity are pale ale. And those two together, 45%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. One of the things we struggle with, back to me, of course. No, but one of the things we struggle with is if we come up with a hockey thing. Hockey. Why did I say hockey?
Hoppy.
Today, 4 p.m.
Yeah, well, I mean, as of this recording, by the time you listen to this podcast, Canes might be golfing.
The Canes will have won the Stanley Cup.
I wish.
But if we have something hoppy to sit on shelves, the worry is... Everybody's got hoppy things that sit on shelves. That doesn't seem to be the case for you guys. As far as the beer that moves out of here, right?
Yeah, it moves. And I think the challenge for us is the more it moves, the harder we have to work on this story of making distinctly Southern beer, right? So what's distinctly Southern about our Pilsner, our Pale Ale, our IPA? I know one of those, I can tell that story more easily, and that's the Humidity Pale Ale, because not only are we brewing some local grain in it, but we also have, some barley in it. We also have triticale grown in eastern North Carolina, this wheat rye hybrid. But it's not as like story driven as, say, the basil or our persimmon or pawpaw beers, the black walnuts that I mentioned. A lot of these, as we grow, we're needing, and especially in this market, we're needing to get really efficient, and the risks that we can take are smaller because we can't afford literally to have beer sitting around.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm on the board of the Triangle Land Conservancy, and we had this plan for our 10 year anniversary was this foraged Chickasaw plum beer. Chickasaw plums grow in the wild, these little delicious tart plums. Beer didn't turn out. We don't have a pilot system, so we're brewing 20 barrels at a time of a chance, and we didn't have a 10-year beer.
And your 10-year beers have, at least from my experience, at least usually been like a foraged.
You mean anniversary beers
or anniversary beers? What did I say? 10-year?
Yeah, 10-year. But your anniversary beers.
But your anniversary beers.
You guys will edit that in post, right?
No, it's food coma. I'm just gonna play food.
It is, man. I had lunch the other day, and I had a big old lunch, and didn't have anything to drink, and I felt buzzed.
Yeah, nice.
I might have that one like disorder where like your body starts like.
No, man. It's
like turning food into beer. No, you ever heard of that?
It's that CrossFit thing.
That's what it is. You want to hear about it?
No, no. I read about it yesterday. I watched your video. But it's that CrossFit thing that's kicking your butt.
It is.
Don't enable him. I was hoping we'd get through the podcast
guys, I have a Peloton too.
Stop.
Hey, can we get back to me?
Yeah, let's get back to Sean. Let's not talk about Peloton and CrossFit. Yeah. So, yeah, you do these anniversary beers.
But they have been, right? Like, you've done the...
Yeah.
With Paul, like, right. A lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've done a lot of local ingredient, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
Like, and then that's what we have to recognize is that you take chances. It's a big risk. And, you know, maybe in time this beer will turn out in barrels, and we'll inoculate it with Brett and all of that. But as we grow... and as we need to get more efficient, the challenge is we are not able to take as many chances on unusual ingredients. And that's hard. It's just really hard. So yeah. I look forward to when we can have a smaller system as a pilot system, and we can just be like, oh, well, it's just a, you know, one, two, three
pilots,
barrels.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't have that right
low
now.
Low risk.
So you are, I mean, look, we're here at Full Steam right now, and it's kind of funny. It's like 1 o'clock hit and people just started trickling in for lunch, which is cool to see. But you have limited space. You have limited space. So my guess is that you've had to rely on your package sales more so than usual.
I wouldn't say rely on, because like it's that's a tough business to rely on at our size. So it's helping us move along.
Mm-hmm.
But really what makes a difference is people coming to the tavern.
Okay.
We rely, and most breweries rely on the on-premise.
Of course.
To keep things going, right? And so without that, and, you know, it makes me a little nervous about the fall and winter, particularly if there's a resurgence or another wave. We're very fortunate to have the community know that we take our protocols very seriously, and we have to ride this fine line of encouraging people to come, mm-hmm. but like just in that 10-year anniversary party, not promoting the hell out of it because we don't want a crowd. It's not safe to have big crowds. So just the good, steady, comfortable pace that we've been able to accomplish is what's going to sustain us.
So what are you deciding to put in cans right now?
Hazy IPAs in 16-ounce, and then our core beers.
Okay.
And we're running a lot of core beers. So we do one or two new releases a week of, like, you know, a small batch, 15 barrels at a time or so. And then of course, just nonstop running this machine that's basically telling us can you slow down? Can you stop? You know, because we're running this canning line. We're maxing it out.
I had to like pause a minute because you had some customers show up, and I'd be like, no, you can come in and go in the line. I was directing them.
Maitre d'ing?
I was trying to earn his beer.
I was trying to make sure that they understood that they didn't have to sit and wait. Like, you know, just walk up and make sure.
Oh, right, because we have the sign up front.
Mm-hmm. So how have you got your usual customers, obviously, that kind of understand what's going on, but how have the patrons been?
Great. Yeah. So Durham, City of Medicine, I feel like we have an audience that really gets why,
mm-hmm.
and we have very, very few problems with pushback or questioning.
Yeah.
A lot of respect and distance, and it's been good. So, you know, thank you to those of you who take this seriously. I'm, as I think you all know from previous conversations and just us knowing each other, I'm immunocompromised. I have a kidney transplant. My wife gave me a kidney. And so, you know, it's something that I and our staff take very seriously here, because, you know, we believe the risk is real, and the best way to get through it all is being kind to one another and treating each other with respect by wearing masks.
Yeah, I think it's as simple as that. So all of this being said, we've kind of taken a tour of your beers, your updated food menu.
The Boxyard expansion.
Boxyard. Yeah. Anything else people need to look forward to from Full Steam? Or maybe for people who haven't been here for a while, you know, what?
Yeah, I mean, else? I appreciate that as an opportunity. And I would just say, like, I have this theory. I call it the snapshot theory. And so the premise is that you go to a place and that's the place it is because you remember that place. And we're 10 years old
it's
now.
It's like your friend's kids stay the same age, but
right.
Everybody else gets older.
Yeah.
And then you see them. Then,
so
you see the picture of them driving. You're like, what? No. What?
Exactly. And so in this sort of snapshot theory, I think a lot of people, especially a lot of your listeners, might be familiar with us from when they came in 2013.
Yeah.
Right? And Full Steam, the name, is about progress. Like, we're full steam ahead. We're moving and evolving. And the place for those people, whether it's 2, 5, 10 years ago, it's not the same. And we're, I think, constantly improving on beer, on service, and particularly on food. So come try our beer and food. I mean, you guys seem to like it.
I can't.
Right?
I will tell everybody about the food. It was excellent. And the beer, of course, but the food was the surprise, because we haven't been eating on the podcast very much recently. And Sean's like, you guys want lunch? And I'm like, I'm not going to turn down free food.
Yeah, our days of having people bring us food at the studio, it's been a minute. So
maybe they're still dropping food off of the studio.
There was all that food there.
Right. Right.
Who was that? Who had that? When I came visiting you, you had like this big spread from like a farmer, and there was all this great food there.
Oh, well, was it when Josh was there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Josh Satin. Did
I just stumble on that?
No, we planned that, remember?
Speaking of,
it was amazing.
Speaking of Josh.
That's my snapshot theory. I'm like, the hell, they have like...
Josh is actually still at the station
there,
right now.
You know, just loading us up with fresh...
That's what he does. He just goes up and throws his screens out at the station.
Yeah, Josh is still at the station. Yeah. Like, being like, when
that
Sean
guy's
comes
got 100,
his feet hurt.
He's got 110,000 YouTube followers and is doing incredible things with...
Raleigh City Farm,
man. I mean, I watched a video the night where he had 3 interns on there, so he's doing great things. But no, Sean, what you're doing here... And the reason we had Josh on there, I think, and you, was because you guys were using some of his greens at the time.
Yeah, right.
Which
when he had his own,
when he had
his
own
Satin Hill farm, and now he's,
Yeah, you know, Full Steam's always been one of those places for me that I really love to come to. I told you earlier, I usually get here on Sunday afternoons. I don't know why, it just seems like Sunday, I want to take a Sunday drive to Durham. So I end up here, and now with the addition of the food, you just continue to do things, and you do it right.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you so much. I hope we'll continue that with the Boxyard expansion, where we're going to expand into pizza. That'll be a new thing for us. But, you know, beer and pizza, we're really pushing the envelope
Who
there.
Who thought that was a good idea?
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, beer and
talk
pizza?
About innovation.
Yeah.
No, but I think we're going to use seasonal ingredients, and we'll have a mix of, cooked in the oven and then topped fresh, right? So it'll be... Roman style pizza. Looking forward to it. Working with Teddy Diggs of Coronado, in Carborough. He's been our pizza concierge.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having us out.
Thank you.
Always
good
to catch up.
Appreciate it.
And glad that things are moving along.
Full steam ahead.
All things considered in these uncertain times. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the 919 Beer Podcast. What do we got coming up next week?
We're going to catch up with the ladies from Sierra Nevada. We're
going to
be at Black Dog Bottle Shop in Holly Springs.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Talk about their new alcoholic kombucha.
You get me on mileage here? What's going on?
Yeah. We got it.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yep.
We'll see y'all next week.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.